Good morning. Are we ready for the new year? Have we enjoyed about as much as we can stand of 2020? I won't say it's been fun, because it hasn't. No, it has. There's been a lot of good that's happened this year. But that doesn't mean I'm not looking forward to next year. Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you for your presence here and in our lives. Lord, to know that no matter what happens and what's, Lord, that you're there with us. We just praise you, Lord. Lord, be here with us today. Open up heaven for us. Open your word for us, that we may receive from you, because we come seeking, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Recently, I saw a couple articles. They weren't all on the same day, but there's a couple articles on Facebook that were shared. First one had to do with a young boy, well, a teenager, I guess, who had Down syndromes. And he got a job at McDonald's. And they put him to work a couple hours a day during the busiest time, and they kind of thought that they'd just kind of push him off into a corner or something like that and just let him do what he was going to do. But as it turned out, that he had a really incredible memory. And as people would give their orders and that, and someone would forget, well, what goes on this one? And he'd say, pickle, no ketchup. He knew, he remembered. You know, it seems like God sometimes makes up for shortcomings by allowing them to have something else. But isn't that beautiful? Another article I saw was from the, apparently it was a magazine called The Atlantic. And they're saying that they now have a test that they can do to determine if children have Down syndromes, so that the parents can have them aborted. What have we come to? Where are we? And apparently a large percentage of people would choose that. What's next? People in nursing homes? Just people just out of convenience? Where are we? Well, we're less than a week away from a new year. What's it going to bring? Our opening scripture was Psalms 33:12-14. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. I'm going to read verse 12 again. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation. We read about God's blessings in Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses. Talks about the blessings that a nation or an individual would have if they obey the Lord, if they follow strong his ways. The rest of the chapter, I think there's something like between 70 and 75 verses. The rest of the chapter talks about the curses, the things that will happen if we don't. So where are we? Back in 2005, we had a hurricane, Katrina, one of the most devastating hurricanes I guess we've had. Thousands of people were killed and people were homeless and hundreds of billions of dollars for the damage, I guess. It was just awful. Pat Robertson of the 700 Club and a few others got hammered because they said it was God's judgment. Oh, God wouldn't judge this nation. We'd do too much good. We send foreign aid to other countries, and we send missionaries, and we're just there to help. God would and does bring judgment. Has this past year been judgment? Did we see it in 2008 with the stock when the housing, when that collapsed? Did we see it in, you know? Romans 1:21-32. This is a passage that a lot of people try to ignore, but you can't pick and choose with the Bible, can you? Starting in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Or as the New King James Version says, they approve of what they do. They don't just do it, but even other people approve of the things they do. Deuteronomy 28:15-24. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks and thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. And all that thou seest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto them, until he hath consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and thy earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. It goes on for about another 50 verses. God takes it seriously, doesn't he? So what does that tell us? Exactly right. We should take it seriously too. God shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. He's going to hold back the rain. Rain is prosperity. Not just in Bible times, but it is now too. Dr. D. James Kennedy, I have a quote from him. He says, "Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When you have an immoral society that has blatantly, proudly violated all the commandments of God, there is one last virtue they insist on, tolerance for their immorality." Things get tolerated, then slowly they get more and more accepted until they become the common, and anything that isn't that is considered wrong. We're seeing that, aren't we? Why have we experienced what we've experienced this year? Because God is trying to get our attention. He loves us so much, he's not going to let us continue. Or he doesn't want to let us continue just to do whatever we want. Everything that we do has an aroma or an odor that goes up before God. Did you know that? Are there things we do that stink? Yeah. I'm going to be reading from First Kings, chapter 18. About two people mainly. One of his name is Obadiah. He's not the one that wrote the book of Obadiah. He was a man that was a servant of King Ahab. And the other man is Elijah. He's one of my favorite people in the Bible. And the man Ahab, the king I mentioned, is probably my least favorite person in the Bible. I think I've mentioned that before. He was more wicked than any other king there was. First Kings 18. Let me go back to 17 first. I'm going to read the first verse. One day Elijah walked into his office, or walked up to him anyway. It says, "Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." He just walked up to him one day and said, "It's not going to rain until I say it is." And he turned around and walked away. Of course, Ahab didn't like that. Especially when the rain stopped. He wanted to kill Elijah. Elijah went and hid. He went by a brook where God sent the ravens to feed him. But the brook dried up. Imagine that. Why'd the brook dry up? Because the rain stopped. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. So he goes and God provides a widow to feed him and take care of him. For 3.5 years it didn't rain. So after 3.5 years, God spoke to Elijah and said, "I'm going to send it rain. I'm going to send the rain." Why did Elijah Why was he able to tell Ahab that it wasn't going to rain? Because he read it in Deuteronomy. Because God's word said it. He knew the state of wickedness of the nation of Israel at that time. He knew that God was going to stop the rain. So Ahab sends Obadiah out to look for water and also look for Elijah. And 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 7. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he can't find thee, he will slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. He didn't think Elijah was serious. After all, Elijah was risking his life, wasn't he? Elijah and Obadiah. Two very different people, aren't they? Obadiah feared the Lord, but yet he was afraid of Ahab. Elijah wasn't afraid of Ahab. Elijah walked right up to him. As the Lord God lives before whom I stand, it's not going to rain until I say it does. So where are we? Not everybody is called to be an Elijah, are they? But I believe that more are called than answer that call, or that actually show up for what they're supposed to be. It seems to me that there are too many Obadiahs and not enough Elijahs. What would happen if all the believers all of a sudden became Elijahs? What would happen if the entire church became an army of Elijahs? What would that do to our world? Twelve followers of Jesus turned their world upside down, didn't they? Just 12. Maybe if we had 12 Elijahs. Maybe if we had 50. Because obviously not everyone's going to turn into an Elijah, are they? Nice to think about, but it's not going to happen. So it seems to me that the thing is to try to be more like Elijah. How do we do that? I've got a few keys that might help. Or, if nothing else, they're going to allow us to have a more meaningful relationship with the Lord. The first one is fear God, not man. If you fear God, will you really fear man? The more we fear God, the less we're going to fear man. Matthew 10:28 says, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear. Does that mean cowering fear? Hiding from God? No, it means being aware of who He is and what He's capable of doing. As long as we're believers, we have this reverential trust, this respect, this feeling of awe for God. And that should be very, very strong in our lives, shouldn't it? The second key is faith. What is faith? Faith is believing God. The Bible is a book of kept promises. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." So we have to stand firm on the word of God. And it's not just about having faith. It's also about taking that faith and putting it in action. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, there's an awful lot of people in there. It's called the chapter of faith. They had faith. But every one of them, it says, by faith, and then it says what they did. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things to come, built an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a land that he didn't even know what it was. By faith, Moses' parents hid Moses. By faith, Moses. By faith, they all did something. Faith doesn't count until we do something with it, does it? Elijah prayed that the rain would stop. It says that in James. As I said earlier, that was based on God's word. We have to stand on God's word. The next key is focus. Isaiah 26:3-4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Yahweh is everlasting strength. Fixed faith, focused firmly on Him. I've got that written in my other Bible anyway, right next to that verse. Focus firmly on Him. You know, I've heard it said that if you're out in the woods, in order to keep from getting lost, you find a landmark that's far off and you walk towards that. Isn't God the same way? We keep Him as our landmark and we keep walking, focused on Him. The next key is submission. It may not seem like it, but Elijah was actually a very humble man. Anybody disagree with that? We have the wrong idea about humility and pride. Pride is actually seeing things from our perspective. Humility is seeing things from God's perspective. Paul said in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All things. Through Him. Whatever battle we're fighting. God's there, isn't He? Self-sacrifice. That goes along with submission, doesn't it? Giving up our lives. Giving up the things of us. Jesus said if we would give up our life, we would have more life. That's all part of God's economy. I talk about that a lot because it amazes me a lot just the way God looks at things and the way He works, because it's not according to the way we would. But then again, He does a lot of things not according to the way I would. And that's okay. prayer. Elijah was a man of prayer. James 5, 17 and 18 says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Both times God had told him what he was going to do. But both times Elijah prayed earnestly. Prayer. That's our landline, isn't it, to God? Our connection. Communion with God. I was going to put that before prayer, but actually I think that it should be after prayer in this list. Communion with God is different than prayer. It includes prayer, but it's different because a relationship, there has to be a flow going in both directions, doesn't there? It has to flow back and forth between Him and us. Communion with God is more than just listening to Him. It's listening for Him. Sometimes, like that song we sang that contained the verse, Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we just have to sit in the quiet and start to feel His presence. Because the more we're quiet and the more we're resting in Him, the more He's going to be there. Noah's power in quietness and trust. Isaiah 43:7 says that communion with God is the reason we were created. Sounds like that's what He wants, doesn't it? In 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah said, "As the Lord God lives before whom I stand, it shall not rain except at my word." As the Lord God lives, our God is alive. We have a living God. We have a speaking God. We have a God that's very, very active in our lives. He's a living God. Elijah said, "Before whom I stand." Elijah could stand in front of Ahab and tell him anything he wanted to because he stood in the presence of God. And a man that spends time standing in the presence of God is not going to be concerned standing in the presence of another man. Elijah knew who he was. He knew who his God was. "As the Lord God lives before whom I stand, it shall not rain except at my word." He knew his God was a God of action. He knew his God was a God that kept his promise. He knew what his God was capable of doing. And he knew his God was faithful. I know there's probably a few of us here that are thinking to ourselves, "Well, I'm not Elijah." But guess what? Neither was Elijah. It says in James that he was a man with like passion. He was like us. There's no difference. Except he allowed himself to be used by God. God isn't looking for ability, He's looking for availability. Are we going to be willing? What do we need most as we head into this new year? We need more of God, don't we? And He wants more of us. Really pretty simple when we think about it. I read about Obadiah. So what bothers me most about Obadiah? He feared man. He did some things that were very commendable. He did things that were good. He believed in the Lord. He kept it a secret to himself. But yet, he tried to do the Lord's work. But there's always more we can do, isn't there? See, we're a lot like Obadiah, aren't we? I don't want to be like Obadiah. I want to be more like Elijah. I want to be stronger. I want to be bolder in my faith and in the things I do. Anybody in here satisfied with where they are? We shouldn't be. So where are we? Are we ready for 2021? We think we are. We think it couldn't be any worse, right? You know what? God's with us. God's with us. And we shouldn't be afraid of next year. Besides, what does he always say, Shirley? He's coming back. Just keep looking at that, focusing on that. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. Lord, we thank you that you love us. You love us enough to warn us, to motivate us to change. Lord, help us be stronger. Help us to be bolder. Help us, Lord, just to do all these things, Lord, that were listed. Increase our faith. Help our focus. And Lord, just help us draw closer to you. Help us to be everything you want us to be. Lord, as we go our ways, just be with us and bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.